homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Today we celebrate the enlightenment of Shakyamuni Buddha. And it is important not to think of the enlightenment as something happening only 25 centuries ago in a faraway place. We can come to know the enlightenment for ourselves through practice, which is why Shakyamuni handed down to us, Shakyamuni and the ancestors, down to us the way of practice. This is about gratitude, the gratitude of Shakyamuni Buddha, which caused him to be willing to teach when he was told that it would be very, very difficult and very few people would understand. But in fact, of course, many people have understood, both in the Buddha's time and down to the present day. So sometimes advice given is mistaken. The Buddha's gratitude to the Supreme Enlightenment and the gratitude of his disciples, the continuous transmission of gratitude down to the present day. Keizan and Dogen both say only those who practice this can understand it. The way Dogen phrases it is only Buddha can know Buddha. By this he means that only practice and meditation, the precepts, actualize enlightenment. Because this is so, because this is the transmission of gratitude, therefore, enlightenment is not a state to be conjured, nor to be induced, nor does it have anything whatsoever to do with drugs or a philosophical position or cracking a conundrum. There is the story of the monk who had trained himself for a long time and had learned all there was to know in one of the big monasteries about meditation and the techniques and practice thereof. And although he had been doing it for a long time, he felt that there was something missing and that he wasn't understanding it. So he wanted to have his meditation practice checked out, okay, which is a good thing to do. So he went to this other monk who lived in a hermitage and who didn't actually speak very much and wasn't involved in the politics, etc., of the big monasteries. So our monk, subject of the story, goes to this other old man, this monk, this old man, to ask him to check his meditation practice. And so the monk, younger monk, sits in meditation, assumes the position, quiets down the mind, and goes through the initial techniques. And then he glances from time to time at the old man. And the old man shakes his head back and forth. You know, that is not it. And so the young monk tries again and again, and the old man still shakes his head back and forth. No, that's not it at all. As a result, the young monk begins to feel like they don't know, like he doesn't know anything at all, and to experience doubt and despair and all the things that people go through when they encounter impermanence. But then the young monk remembers his teacher and his gratitude for the teaching. And this arises and becomes strong and flows through him. And then when he looks over at the old monk is nodding. This is an excellent story because it illustrates that meditation is not what people think it is. If meditation were simply the technique, then the old monk would have approved, because the young monk was well versed in all the techniques and methods. If meditation was primarily something intellectual, then this monk, the young monk, would have gotten it. Kazon says, if the transmission of the Buddhist teachings simply relied upon the intellect, then Ananda would have received the Dharma from Shakyamuni rather than Amakakashapa. As I've said many, many times before, one has to let go of selfishness to understand practice. Many, many people try to approach practice without doing anything about themselves. And many people write books about Buddhism, Buddhist practice, comparing it with all sorts of different things, psychology, psychotherapies, techniques. They say, do this, do that. Put your mind in this position, put your mind in another. They say you have to sit in this particular way, with both feet drawn up tight in the lotus position. Some of them even say you have to go to India or to China or to Japan to really understand what meditation is about. They often know nothing about the matter. And as Dogen and Kazon both say, they spend their time picking up pretty pebbles on the shore and never enter the water. Attempting to train in this way is like gardening by hiring a gardener. In Buddhist practice, you have to get your hands into the earth. You have to engage with your selfishness. There is no way around this. There is no back door into enlightenment. As the third ancestor said, the way is not difficult. Just stop pushing and pulling. Stop grasping and shoving away. This is why Dogen in Uji says, to stand on a mountaintop is this existence time flow. To descend to the depths of the valley is this existence time flow. Oneself and one's next door neighbor are all this existence time flow. Enlightenment is found in this body and in the practice in daily life. By not separating practice from daily life. Not making practice only something you do at specific times. And then develop a guilt complex because you're not able to do it at those specific times. When you start off learning to meditate, it is important to develop a firm ground in daily practice. And it can take a while to integrate daily practice with our lives. Sometimes when people hear words like to harmonize body and mind, they think of some mysterious, exotic thing and do not realize it has to do with engaging with one's selfishness. Engaging with one's daily life, engaging with one's mind as it is. The difficulties that arise are the path. This is beautifully illustrated in the story of Milarepa's female disciple. And Milarepa said she wanted advice on how to meditate. And he said, sit like the vast ocean. Sit like the boundless sky. And she said, I'd be happy to sit like the boundless ocean, but the fish keep on leaping up and down and distracting me. I would be happy to meditate like the vast sky, but there's the sun and moon and the stars. And they distract me. And Milarepa said, don't you understand? The fish are the life of the ocean. The sun, moon, and stars are the ornament of the sky. Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.